Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Good morning, Bethel. I want to greet all of you here today, those in the house. Good morning. And those of you streaming, welcome. It's such a joy to be with you today. And my heart is so full today. I was just telling Gretchen off camera, if I knew the information I'm going to present to you 50 years ago, I can't even imagine the direction my life would have gone. We're in our I Thou series, and we've been talking about Martin Buber's book, I and Thou. And we found out that there are two kinds of relationships in all of our lives. There are I-It relationships, we call them subject-object relationships, and then there are I Thou, intimate, face-to-face communion, where 100% of who you are is brought into the now, sharing with another, where we love and we're loved and we're known, we're being known. It's the original purpose of God revealed, that vertically we have face-to-face I-Thou relations with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and vertically with one another, therefore, we have intimate I-Thou relationships. But I'll tell you, there's a difference between I-It and I-Thou. When in I-It relationships, you're being used, you're a means to an end. In an I-Thou relationship, you're an end in and of yourself. And none of us, when you really get down to it, want to be loved in a way where we're a means to an end, where we're being used, we're being manipulated, we're there for someone else's needs to be met. And today, when I speak of I-Thou, if one image would come to your mind, I want it to be this one. Safety. I-Thou relationship should represent this word in all of its aspects. Safety. And the question is, are you a safe person? Listen to what David said. Psalm 61, 1-3. O God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to your towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Isn't that beautiful? Safety. It's the quality of safety that we're thirsty for, we're hungry for, we're searching for, and that's found in I-Thou relationships. So I want to begin for just a few minutes. We're going to look at some positive traits, because we're going to ask the question, what is a safe relationship and what does a safe person look like? We're not talking about perfect people. We're talking about safe people. We're talking about people who on the continuum in your life bear good fruit when they're around you. Aren't there some folks that just bear good fruit and leave good fruit in their wake? It's just like you talk to them and you're fed. You're overwhelmed. You're sufficiently siphonsified. Other people in your life suck the blood out of your veins. They are vampires. Thunder up front, those are unsafe people. The safe people are the ones who, like good fuel, fill you up. And I know that everyone in this room would love to feast on safety. But we have to make a commitment as well to become the safe people God wants us to be. Well, let's look at a verse, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at that. The Word became flesh. There's a fancy word in Latin, incarnation. When we talk about God the Son, second person of the Trinity, assuming human nature, and literally he's born a little baby thing that made a woman cry. That's the incarnation. And when we're dealing with people, safe people are able to do three things. They're able to dwell. Notice Christ's incarnation is him coming into connection with human flesh. He came to dwell with us, to abide with us, to connect with us. So safe people are people who know how to dwell with you and connect with you. And they're able to fuel you. Just think of good food going into your body, right? If you eat ho-hos 24 hours a day, your organs are going to break down. You have good, healthy, nutritious food and a balanced diet, and you begin to flourish. So it is with people. I always like to say, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. All you have to do is show me who your fuel is, positive or negative in your life, and I can tell you where you're going to wind up. That's why we need people who first can dwell with us and meaningfully connect with us. You say, well, what does that mean? You know when you're having an I-thou meaningful connection that's healthy and delicious and marvelous. We're talking about something beyond male and female connection. We're talking about more than romance. We're just talking about being around a person who knows how to connect with you and dwell with you, where you just feel that you belong. You know, even if your behavior isn't perfect and your belief isn't perfect, when you're around a safe person, you're around someone who can incarnate. They can dwell with you. They can pitch their tent next to your life and connect with you. But the second thing that safe people can do is that they offer grace. They offer grace. Notice Jesus became flesh. He dwelt with us in the incarnation. Such a beautiful word. Get that one down. Incarnate. Incarnation. God's desire is that we incarnate in our flesh his love, his mercy, his safety, his welcome. You know when you're around people that you just like and you just love and you just feel safe. You know when you trust someone, you can abandon yourself. When you trust someone, you become careless in a good way. You know, if you put your money in a trustworthy bank, you don't need to worry about it. They're going to take care of you. And you go to sleep and relax, and you don't need to be obsessive about anything. So there's something beautiful about safety in people. First, they are able to dwell with you. Secondly, they're able to bring grace to you. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is loving you no matter what. Isn't that beautiful? Someone drawing a circle around your good parts and your bad parts, and they say, I love you. I love all of who you are, and I accept you right where you are. You know, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend wrote a book called Finding Safe Relationships, and they asked a question. They said, describe a safe person, and here are some of the descriptions. A person who accepts me just like I am. Someone who gives me an opportunity to grow. A person who loves me no matter how I am being or what I do. Someone I can be myself around. Aren't these delicious? Someone who allows me to become the me that God intended. Oh, I like that. Someone whose life touches mine and leaves me better for it. Safety. You know, you may not know this technical term, but you sure know down in your knower when you're around someone who's giving you safe fuel. So they dwell. They know how to dwell and connect with you. They bring grace, which is they draw a circle of love around all of who you are, and they say, I love you no matter what, period. But third, truth. Notice grace and truth came in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. In his dwelling, he brought grace and truth. Now, grace without truth is license. This is anything goes. That's falling in a ditch of insecurity and unsafety. But truth without grace is legalism that kills people. So we need grace and truth. Whenever you hear someone talking about grace and truth, we need them both. Love has limits, all right? Bonding has boundaries, and grace and truth go together in Jesus Christ. Now, grace says, I accept all of who you are, but truth also says, but in dwelling with you, in my acceptance of you, I'm here also as a mirror to reflect any area of brokenness that you may have so that we can work together to see God mature you into the you he wants you to be. So that means I have to tell you the truth. But here's the thing about a safe person. They will never reject you in telling you the truth. I remember hearing this example. You've got to fall out of the boat of truth into an ocean of grace. That's your mindset. When you're going to, if you're ever going to ever say anything, first of all, you have to have a relationship with someone. It has to be a safe relationship. And then when the truth comes, you only use a boat of truth, but you got to fall out of the boat of truth into an ocean of grace. Isn't that a beautiful and delicious analogy? A safe person is not rejecting you by helping you see. Remember, I always say that you're looking through your glasses or at your glasses. I'm looking at your glasses so I can see you in a way you can't see yourself. You're looking through your life. I'm looking at your life so I can see you in a way you can't see yourself. So maybe me on the outside looking in at you can be a resource of safety, especially when your life's just, Thomas Aquinas used to talk about a good saw on a good board, but its angle is off just a quarter of an inch, and now the sawing motion is going to cut your leg off. Good saw, good wood, bad angle, bad relationship. Stop. I remember I was trying to help a friend of mine in his recording studio, and I was cutting something, and I was getting right near the major cables that would have destroyed his entire, you know. And they chose to assign me to the ministry and get me out of helps real quick. Because only those who love us and we trust as safe people are in a position where they don't lie to us. They tell us the truth. You got to tell the truth. Grace and truth go together, right? So remember that. Grace without truth is license, right? You do anything you want. That'll ruin your life. Truth without grace is legalism. And that's what the Pharisees had that crucified the Messiah. So notice in the Lord Jesus, we see the epitome of safety, dwelling with us, meaningful connection with grace, accepting us no matter what, and the structure of truth. Oh, what a beautiful image. What a beautiful image. So a safe relationship is one that first draws us closer to God. Listen to Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So a safe relationship draws us first closer to God, secondly closer to others, because God is the vertical relationship. We want the I-thou primarily with him, right? But that's not it. You know, some people say, you know, I don't need people. I've just got God. Well, unfortunately, he set the system up that would prove that to be an error theologically. I don't need people. I just need God. I just need more Bible reading. No. You're not to be stuck vertically alone with God, because God created us in his image where we are independently engaged, interdependently engaged with one another, horizontally as well as our walk with God vertically. He's first, but when we have an I-thou with him, that's going to affect the vertical. That's going to affect the vertical, affects the horizontal, and then we're brought closer to people, because it safe relationship draws closer to God. Secondly, they draw us closer to others. Matthew 29, 39, and second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the third, after bringing us closer to God, closer to others, a safe person or a safe relationship helps us become more of the authentic person God created us to be. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are all the handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." So what a beautiful thing. The ingredient of safety should be the fragrance, the texture, the taste of an I-thou relationship. Now, so remember, I-thou, safe relationship. I-it, not safe. St. Augustine once said, by the way, there is no such thing. St. Augustine is in Florida. St. Augustine is in heaven. If I hear one more philosopher misstep, I'm sorry. Let me get my heart rate back. Please just get that out of today. We have to let Gretchen just let the funny pass, and then she'll be fine. St. Augustine once said that we're to love people and use things and never use people and love things. Woo. See? Loving people and using things, everything's in its place. You're having an I-thou with people, an I-it with things. But once you start worshiping things and using people, you just made a category mistake. You just stepped over a line, and everybody in your life knows that you're now unsafe because you can't have an I thou. Now, I want to look at some traits. I was tempted to start with the horrifying negative traits of an unsafe person. We will get there, but I want to start on the positive. Because, you know, when you're a bank teller, they put you in a vault and they don't let you handle the fake. They let you handle the real over and over and over and over again. And when you handle the real, you don't have time in life to study every counterfeit belief system, every counterfeit reality. You handle the real. And when you handle the real, after a while, they slip the fake in and you go, oh, what's that? See, I used to think you'd go to an academy to study counterfeit bills. You know, they don't do that. They teach you the real so that when the bogus slips in, it doesn't feel the same, the texture's not the same, the weight isn't the same, and you just know that you know, whoops, we're in trouble. So I just want to put together some of the positive traits where we lead off. Number one, 17 traits of a safe person. Number one, safe people are open and teachable. Open and teachable. You know anybody that's not open or teachable? Put your hand down, Gretchen. Secondly, humble. Not prideful or arrogant. They're humble. And notice on a continuum, we're not talking about perfect people. We're talking about basically in their flow. That they are open and teachable, they're humble. Third, they're non-manipulative, they're not controlling. They don't they're not a subject, they're not I-itting you. They're not using you and managing you and, okay? Non-manipulative. Fourth, responsible and mature. They take care of themselves, they're responsible for their own lives, and they're balanced, right? I mean, they'll help you occasionally, help you lift a piano into your house, but they won't carry your backpack for you. That's your life. Your backpack represents your life. They only take responsibility for their backpack. They'll help you occasionally, but they won't live your life. To all my codependent friends, I'm sorry, you're busted. But I just want to be like Jesus. Well, then listen, because he was the epitome of a safe person. The epitome of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. He dwells with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's gracious. Welcome, dear. It's good to see you. He extends grace, and he loves you no matter what, and he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So, yeah, he will correct his children. Don't worry. Nobody gets away with anything in the kingdom of God, by the way, in case you think that is a possibility. No. But see, in the safety Jesus represents, we can point to him denotatively and say, that's what I mean by safety. There's two ways you can describe somebody. Let's say you meet a particularly lovely girl at college and you write home and, mommy, I've met her. She's wonderful. She's great. And you can describe her. She's 5'3" and she's blonde hair and she's blue eyed and she's sweet and she's kind. Description can go on forever. Or you can denotatively just take her there and say, behold the woman. Look, mama, in the incarnation of Christ, all the propositions about God, the entirety of the Hebrew scriptures, all culminate in fingers pointing to what? Him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In John chapter 14, verse 9, Philip says, show us the Father, and that's enough. He says, Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. You've seen my character. Do you know we're attracted to people's outsides, but what you wind up living with is people's insides? Have you noticed that over time? You know? You're descriptively, she's gorgeous and she's this and oh my God and I can't believe it. Those are her outsides. And outsides are important, okay? Outsides are important, except in my case. But what you wind up living with are not someone's outsides, but their insides. And if someone's unhealthy inside, they're not a safe person. Ooh, you have just been infiltrated. And it's going to go from bad to worse, unless there's an intervention. Safe people are open, they're teachable, they're humble, they're non-manipulative, they're responsible, they're mature, they're other-centered. Instead of me, it's about the we. It isn't just I, me. No, Satan, I will exalt myself. I will put myself above the stars of heaven. I will. The middle letter of sin is I. The middle letter of pride is I. Safe people are other-centered. We can be about the we. It doesn't need to be about I. You know, I think an I, feel an I. Watch. Oh, I wish I knew this 50 years ago, but here we are. Also, they're confessional. Safe people are confessional leaders. They lead by example. They lead by their own shortcomings. They don't force themselves. Remember Martin Buber said the three things that block an I-thou relationship are seeming rather than being. Don't lie about who you are. Don't wear an Esau suit, Jacob. And one was forcing yourself on someone rather than unveiling yourself to someone. Oh, that's a controlling. Well, that's a big one. Those two right there fit into the safety category. They're confessional leaders. Did you know all the leaders in the Bible are confessional leaders? By the way, I would challenge you to find one example of a perfect person in the Bible other than Jesus Christ. All of them are screw-ups. Screw-ups. Throw me a name, I'll tell you their secret sin. And God could strike a straight blow with a crooked stick. And the point is, safe people who are mature and able to be trusted, are in process. They're growing. They're aware of it. They're honest about it. They don't try to be perfect. They don't have to be right all the time. Selah. All right, quit nudging people at home. All right. They're victors, not victims. Safe people will not be victimized, will not allow anyone to victimize them. There's a book years ago I read called Killing the Victim Before the Victim Kills You. Great book. You're a victim or a victor. Unsafe people are always victims, always. They don't have a problem, they have a pattern, but they always think they have a problem, so they got to point to mommy and daddy and this and that. Safe people take responsibility for themselves. They're not victims. Next, they speak the truth. Oh, how precious. They speak the truth in love. There it is. They dwell with you. They give you grace and accept you. And they give you the structure of truth so that you can actually grow into a mature human being. Oh, they speak the truth. Next, they're mature and childlike. They're not childish. They're childlike. Mature is a word meaning balance. Isn't it just nice to be around some balanced folk that you don't have to guard yourself, protect yourself, and you don't have to be an anal person with a religious spirit, like I hope I don't say the wrong thing. Safe people are fuel that surround you, and you know you're comfortable. You're free to be you, wherever you happen to be. You know, I've often told people, we grow from the inside out, and we have to let love in. But you know what? You'll never let love in. You'll never drop down your walls unless you're with someone that you know has an I-thou love for you. They draw the circle of grace around all of who you are. And they say, well, you're there. It's okay. I'm not going to manipulate or control you. Be who you are. Love you. But I will mention that you have some salad in your teeth all dinner. You've had that. Your other friend, so-called friends wouldn't tell you, but you got a big hunk of salad right there. Don't push your truth on me. No, I'm not trying to push my truth on you, honey, but it would look better if you floss right there. Had a dinner one night, went into the bathroom, washing my hands, looked, and I had a piece of broccoli the size of New Jersey in my teeth all night. And this person never told me. You can't not see it. I just went in and looked in the mirror and went, oh! We have to be truth tellers as well as grace givers. Someone say amen in the back. Yeah, wait till the offering then. Okay, good. They welcome intimacy. Safe people welcome intimacy. They're not controlling. They're forgiving. They're encouraging. They're uplifting. Do you see the ebb and flow? They bear good fruit. They're not perfect, but they're loyal. They keep confidences, and they are spiritual without being religious. I love safety. See, when I think of Jesus, he's the epitome of safety to me. So it's like, oh, well, I want to be like him. Now, we're not able to perfectly be these things, but my goodness, this is letting you know the direction the Holy Spirit is leading you in. He is forging you and making you safe. And if he has to subtract a little over here and prune a little over there, amen, so be it. If I've got some rough edges, you need to bring your sandpaper in and just smooth out. Praise God, because we are not called to have sandpaper ministries in the body of Christ. You can tell how safe someone is by how comfortable they are in their own skin. Now, can I just hit you with a machine gun barrage of unsafe traits? Now, hold on. Now, you are not allowed to nudge anybody right now. Gretchen's holding up a very large Catholic cross at me right now with a man on it. No nudging. Look straight ahead as you're watching the stream. Okay? Because we're fallen creatures. The Bible says that we're unique because we're made in the image of God, but the Bible also says, secondly, that we're deeply fallen, Genesis chapter 3, but we're greatly loved, Romans chapter 5. So we have to factor the fall in. The Bible says that we are special by virtue of creation, deeply fallen as a result of our sinfulness, and therefore, but we're greatly loved, and God is in the process of redeeming us in a way that takes a day-to-day Holy Spirit work to work these traits, the negative ones out of us and the good ones into us. But isn't it nice when you have a plumb line and at least you have a standard and you can say, wait a minute, that's not safe. I never could language this before. They were not a safe person to me. Okay. Well, learn from that. I always say you can learn from everybody, even if it's how never to be. David learned how not to be king under Saul. Never criticized him, just learned how not to be king. When I'm king, I can't do that. Ooh. That's why he was all alone with the sheep all the time. Ooh. Saul, no. You know, he had to process. I'm sure he had some friends. They could just simply say, that's not for you, David, when you're king. Let's just not go there when you're king. You don't need to tear someone else down. All right, here we go. Here's the flurry. 19 traits of an unsafe person. Number one, they're defensive instead of being open to feedback. You know any defensive people that you can't even broach a conversation with because they're just got to put their armor on? Secondly, they're arrogant. Unsafe people are self-righteous instead of walking in humility. Ooh. Third, they're manipulative. Unsafe people will only apologize instead of actually changing their behavior. You know what I used to say to my son, Grant? Don't be sorry. Be different. Okay? All right, unsafe people are always sorry, but they're never different, all right? Okay, let us move on. They're irresponsible and immature. They avoid working on their problems and resolving their problems. They're egotistical. Unsafe people demand trust instead of earning it. Ooh, this is a big one. Trust, love can be granted in a moment. Trust takes a lifetime to develop. And we were never taught that love and trust are two different things. You know, the foundation of all relationships is not love. It's trust. If you love folks you don't trust as far as you can throw them, think of a list. But you can trust some people you don't know. You know, sometimes the mob is more loyal than your blood family. I swear on my mother's eyes and my children that I will never betray you, but don't ever steal from me. Is that it? Good. Okay. We're in. Sometimes you find more trust outside of the church world, right? With someone you don't really have feelings of love with. But so anyway, they are, I could stay on that for too long, egotistical. They demand trust instead of earning it. Narcissistic. We hear this phrase all the time, a little overused. But unsafe people believe they're perfect instead of admitting their faults, right? They just think that they got it all together. Safe people know they don't got it all together, but they're in process. God's still not finished with me yet. But the narcissist is going to play God as though they're perfect. Next, they're victims. Unsafe people blame others instead of taking responsibility. And I might add all the time, right? It's never their problem, right? You got to blame the family of origin. Got to blame daddy. Got to blame mama. Got to blame the first husband. Got to blame the blame game everywhere. Sometimes you don't have a problem. You have a pattern. But unsafe people will not acknowledge they have a pattern. So you see these traits. We mix the ebb and flow. We mix them up. We get the gist. Next, they're liars. Unsafe people lie instead of being truthful and honest. Boy, there's different ways you can lie. You can just lie right out and say, I wasn't there. Or you can just not mention where you were. But there's always a subtlety of deception, okay? Immature, they're unsafe people are immature. They're stagnant instead of growing. They're not heightenedly alive and maturing. They're stagnant. They're afraid of intimacy. Unsafe people avoid closeness instead of connecting, right? They're in the room with you, but they're not connected to you. You know, you can be physically in the room. You can be physically in the same bed and not connect and be emotionally a million miles away. See, unsafety, you have to notice it because you just never felt, they can't ever just dwell with you with grace, accepting you as you are. And where there's a structure of truth that's safe enough for you to be who you are and be honest and to be wrong. Safe people are amazing because you can be wrong in front of them without being cast out. Next, safe people are self-centered. Unsafe people are self-centered. They're all about the I, not the we. There's no relationship centered. Next, they're controlling. Unsafe people resist freedom instead of encouraging it. Have you ever been in a relationship where someone wants to corral you away from all of your close friends and just sort of lock you in a room and be with you? And if you're with anybody else, they take that personal. That's called controlling behavior. It's not love. I love you so much, I'm going to isolate you from the possibility of ever getting hurt. And then you find Lemuel, 35 years old, in the attic. Mama kept him there. Well, and the news report, I didn't want Lemuel to play with the other boys because he might have gotten hurt. And now he's a raving idiot. Okay, let's move on from Lemuel. Rarely do I get to bring that in. Isn't that rare? That's about 10 years since I mentioned Lemuel. I was at home one day, and Grant was there with his friends, and they had a kid there, and I don't know why, but I couldn't remember his name. And I just pulled out of midair, Lemuel. I said, "Where's Lemuel?" And they said, "What, Dad? His name is Steve." I don't know. Yeah, Steve, my eye. He hit me as a Lemuel. I'm holding my boundaries on that. Right, let me move because the coffee's wearing off right now. All right, where are we? Artificial, unsupported. They're artificial and unsupportive. Unsafe people flatter us instead of confront us. I heard a line years ago. It says, a man can resist sexual temptation, but he cannot resist flattery. So for all you Jezebels and Athalias, I just gave you a, ooh. Just be more subtle, and you'll get him every time. Okay, I'm sorry. The teaching got unsafe right then. I just had to lock myself up. All right, shush up. I'm trying to get through this. Judgmental, unsafe people are judgmental and condemnatory. They condemn instead of forgive. They're critics. The internal critic, you're never enough. You're never enough. You're never enough. Next, they're discouraging and destructive. Basically, they maintain parent-child roles instead of relating as equals. Do you know what a parent-child is? I'm one step up and you're one step down. I'm a have, you're a have-not. I am your mother for the love of God. Well, I'm your father. It's a one step up. Now, that's nice when you got a daddy and a three-year-old, right? But when you mature, you need peer relationships, right? You go and hook up forever with an unsafe person who's locked in this parent-child thing, you're never enough. You can never measure up. They're always on top. You're always on the bottom. Right there, that's worth the offering right there. Let me just pause. No parent-child role in this thing. I wish I knew this 50 years ago. Next, they're unstable. Unsafe people are unstable over time instead of being consistent. This is the idea of fruit. Notice the kind of fruit that is born in your life when this person is around you. And remember, you may be attracted to their outsides, but you're going to live with their insides. And when you invite even someone to be a room, to take a room in your house, or you invite somebody to come into your group, you better realize that you're going to see over the test of time who's safe and who's not. And you know what? We all have a mixture of these traits, right? Good and bad parts. We need to work on it. But see, if we're safe together, I can trust you because you see me in a way I can't see myself. And if you love me, you're going to fall out of the boat of truth into an ocean of grace every time. You're going to be so delicate and so surgically caring and loving that you're not just going to come in and say, well, number one, you're stupid. Number two, you're ugly and stupid. Number three, get out of my life. I'm rejecting you and I'm walking away. Safe people, they summon their entire relationship of safety with you over time to mention something redemptively to help you. And wouldn't you just want to know there's food in your teeth? I mean, you know. Well, if you love me, you're just going to love this celery. Well, okay, we do love you and the celery, but you might get a date if you floss. Lord have mercy. Okay, Arne. Well, we're almost finished. Definitely we're finished. They're toxic. Unsafe people are a negative influence rather than a positive influence. Next, they're disloyal and they're gossipers. They gossip instead of keeping confidences. Oops. Now, your secrets, your toxic secrets are yours to tell to anyone to find relief. But my secrets that have been given to you are not in the realm of you sharing those with someone else. Share your own secrets. Keep confidences. Notice there's a disloyalty about unsafe people. Now, we can just throw this all together and you can have a mood about it. You have a feeling. Safe people are welcoming, nurturing, loving. They dwell with you. They love you no matter what. They're in your corner. They're on your team. They're a confidant that is there for you your whole life. Thank God. And they'll kill to defend you. Well, I think you could flourish in that terrarium. And the little plant gets all the water it needs and the ground it needs and the air it needs and the sun it needs. Whew. There you're a well-rounded person. You're not perfect. You're in process. But I thou, when you hear the phrase, think safety. Safety. God is turning you into a safe person because we don't have enough safety in this world. You say, well, I don't really matter. Oh, yes, you do. A pinch of who you are matters. A skosh of who you are as a safe person can change the world. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One little pinch of your safety can leaven the lump of a city, human lives. It's beyond belief what God can do if you're safe and you're an instrument in his hands. He can wipe away a million tears in a moment from someone's life. Yeah, but I'm not perfect. I'm broken. That's part of acknowledging your need for safety. And also, when you surround yourself with safe people, It's so interesting when I ask people who their best friends are and they have no friend in 30 years that they ever see. Well, I see Uncle Tommy once every 2 years. No. Who knows you? Who knows everything about you and loves you anyway? That's a safe person. Well, where do we find them? Well, you have to get my 300-tape series. And we have a new map tracker. That's a little more expensive. Only those of you in the Platinum Club. He got unsafe again, Mama. All right. I thou safety. It's what you want. It's how you expect to be treated. It's how you expect to be loved. And so God, remember, said, treat others as you would like to be treated. That means at every level, with safety, with respect, with dignity. And you know what? Don't worry about you. I'm not. I don't. I fit all the evil traits. Well, you know, we knew that. That's another 700 tape series that could help you with that. But God is patient, isn't he? Gracious. He's been so patient. I'm 61 years old. He is so patient. He's been so patient. And he knew there are lessons I wouldn't get for 15 years. Bless his sweetheart and stupid head. It's going to take 15 years of a label on him for that. Now, I know you guys are all quick and you just catch up on everything and change right away. No. He blocks my life out in decades.
It'll take 27 years for Craig to be able to say good morning without offending everyone.
All right, good. We're in process. But you know, you can trust people in process that are just like you. Special by virtue of creation, deeply fallen, but greatly loved. I just want to pray, Father, for my precious friend. Father, for this one who is so much a treasure to you, Lord, such a precious saint, such a jewel and a gem in your kingdom. I would pray for his safety, Lord. That this gem of a diamond would find a setting of safety in which to be placed. That, Lord, you're placing all of your jewels right now, and you want to place the ruby in a safe ring, and the diamond in a safe tiara, and the carbuncle, you're going to put it in a necklace and a bracelet. And, Father, I thank you that you're going to bring your people. You may remove them from some unsafe settings so that you would place them ultimately in the safe setting they belong in, where they will shine for your glory. And Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, God, that you loved us enough, eternal word, that you were made flesh to connect with us, to love us completely, and to tell us the truth. We love you, Jesus. And we pray for all of our friends right now, anyone, any of you watching right now that maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you hear about God a lot and, you know, you believe a lot of stuff, but you've never just taken the moment. It's very simple. It's like opening a submarine underwater. What happens? All the water comes in. You don't have to ask it to come in. If you would just open your heart right now, just in the privacy of your mind, you don't even have to speak out loud because God reads your mind. He's the only one that can read your mind. You just repeat after me, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. I want an I-thou relationship with you forever. Amen. See, that's just your part, opening the door. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and fellowship with him. So there it is, the first step of a new life. Praise the Lord for his goodness. We thank God for you. We pray every blessing upon you and yours. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to move in your heart to confirm these words, these powerful principles. I'm glad I know them now, but what transformation these truths can bring. And if you want a book, go get Finding Safe Relationships with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, and that'll just lay it out for you. You can get that on Amazon. You put it on your Kindle. Just go right to it. Because this information is valuable fuel for your life and those around you. God bless you. We love you. All of our Bethel love from all of our lambs in here we send out to you. God bless you.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.